Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Let's turn in the Word of God. We're starting a new series today, Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to get to some of it today, but we'll be here all month long. Pastor Mandy's going to jump in. I don't know if she's going to jump into this series. I hope she does, but she'll be jumping in here in the next couple weeks and preaching. I'm excited about that. But I'm excited these next 2 months just to give you a little encouragement. God's not done in February. In March, we're going to do a series that I've never preached on, but man, I'm so fired up, called Jubilee. And we're entering our 50th. We're getting ready in 3 months to celebrate Living Way's 50th birthday. And the number 50 in years in the Old Testament, Leviticus, is the year of Jubilee. And there's some things that only happen in the 50th year. And I believe that God's not only going to do them here, He's going to do them for each and every one of you and yours in Jesus' name. Let's go, Philippians chapter 1. Just got a text from one of our leaders, said, Pastor, a lot of people just left after dedications, shaking my head as I watched them walk out. We believe the seed has been sown. I'm going to say something else, but I'm not going to. I'm going to be good. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you. Somebody say within me. He will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Right off the bat, everything that God wants to do in your life and in my life is still happening. There is still giants yet to be slayed, miracles yet to be seen, all the things and promises of God yet to be manifested. And you know how I know that God's not done yet? Because Christ has not yet returned. And He said, as long as there's life in your body and before Jesus returns, I'm still working in you, I'm still working with you, and I'm still working for you. Somebody say, God's not done. Oh, come on, you can't straddle that line of faith. You got to say it with some meaning. Say, God's not done. Turn to your neighbor and tell them we're just getting started. Turn to the neighbor that's been frowning to you all service and tell them you ain't seen nothing yet. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. This past year on October 18th, I was standing in the building next door and Tyler was having his Jesus Saves concert. And he sang a song at the end of that concert called God's Not Done. Mandy and I had heard a rough cut just on our phones a few weeks prior before it was anywhere near finished. And it was good then. But that night, October 18th, standing next door with a couple hundred people who had never heard the song before, by the time that song was over, everybody in unison was singing the lyrics to that song. And it was in that moment that God said, that is the theme for 2025. It is an encouraging theme because I know that there's a lot of people who've been living for God and following Jesus for a long time, and I commend you on that. But I also tell you, be grateful for what God has done, but don't be satisfied, because there's still a lot of living left to do. There's a lot of miracles that are still in front of you. But if I could be honest with you, there's a four-letter word that I want to tell you that there's a lot of work left to do. So when we say that God's not done, what we're really saying is you're not done. I'm not done. When we say we're just getting started, doesn't mean we're just getting started building the church and having church. What we're meaning is we're just getting started fulfilling the God-given purpose for our lives. And so on October 18th, when God said, that is the phrase, God's not done, I began, and for the last 4 months, I've thought about it. It's turned over in my spirit. For almost 50 years, Living Way has had services. We've never dismissed a service. We've never not had Wednesday night or Sunday morning. So just the quick numbers, that means in the last 50 years, we have had 7,800 Sunday and Wednesday services. 7,800. I've been here for most of them. There's a few of you that have been here for most of them. Some of you have been here for two or three of them. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you've been here for 48 years or you've been here for 48 minutes. I've got a word to encourage you today that God is not done with your life yet. And it may be tough right now, and it may be a season of difficulty, and it may be stressful, and it may be frustrating, but I want to encourage you that God has not thrown in the towel. He has not put an exclamation point at the end of your life. Whatever you are going through, pause. That means there's a comma there, but there is more life to live. 10,000 services, if you count women's meetings and men's meetings, men's nights, VBS, kids' services, youth camps, conferences, but I'm still saying God's not done after 50 years. I've got great news for everyone in the room today. If it was your best year that you've ever had of your life, God is not done. But I've got even better news for those of you that came out of a hellacious 2024. God is not done. You're still breathing. You're still standing. What you thought was going to take you out didn't take you out. What you thought was going to be the final nail in the coffin wasn't the final nail in the coffin. And God will use what you thought was going to destroy you to propel you to your next. God's not done. At this point, it would be easy for Living Way as a church to rest in and on what God has done. It would be easy to flip on the lights and the AC or heat every Wednesday or Sunday and have church as usual. But I've come to tell you that God's not done. We do not want to settle. We do not want to hit cruise control. When I first started driving, I used cruise control a lot. Once I got comfortable behind the steering wheel, I don't use cruise control a lot because the speed that I drive is never the same. Is that a cop up there? Slow down. Is that a stop? I think we should pass a law in this country that every state trooper and police vehicle should be neon pink to give us a fighting chance. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. I don't use cruise control because I'm always trying to get wherever I'm going a little quicker than I really should be. But there's a lot of us when it comes to the things of God. You've been walking with Jesus for 10 years, been walking with Jesus for 20 or 25 years. You take your foot off the pedal and you begin to coast and you begin to cruise. But remember this, if you are not growing, there is no such thing as standing pat or staying still or neutral. If you are not growing, you are dying. If you are not elevating, you are going down. So when we look at this, we don't want to hit cruise control. We want to keep pushing forward, onward, and upward. We want to hold on to the ground that we have gained, but we want to do everything we can to possess even more because God is not done. When we read Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, the book of Philippians is written by the Apostle Paul. When he wrote this letter, can I just tell you, he's not like a lot of American preachers. He wasn't sitting in a 5-star hotel in his bathrobe, writing out the next point of his sermon. He wasn't flying first class and looking down 30,000 feet below at the next country that he was going to preach to. He wasn't eating in the finest of dining establishments and driving in Bentleys and BMWs and all of those types. He was writing this from a prison. When he said that God is not done, that he is faithful to finish, he was at the lowest point in his ministry, yet he still had enough nerve to say, even though it doesn't look right, I know how big my God is, and God is not done. Wasn't a place of cushion and comfort. He wrote it from a prison. Even in a place of extreme discomfort, Paul kept pressing forward, onward, and upward. If I could encourage somebody today that it has not been the best year of your life so far, that January did not change anything that you were hoping it would change, the promotion hasn't come, the reconciliation or restoration of your marriage hasn't happened yet, you still can't seem to quit that habit, and there's still the demons that are tormenting you every night when you go to sleep, I am here to announce to you, you don't have to wait until things get better before you move forward. I have come to tell somebody today, like Paul, in the prisons of your life, God will speak. In the prisons of your life, God will move. This is what I found to be true, church. When you are uncomfortable, that is the most likely place of compromise. In the darkest moments of your life, when you become uncomfortable and the stretching begins in your life, that is the moment where you are most likely to throw in the towel and compromise the promise that you might have made on a Sunday morning. Can I tell you that I want you to show up in this altar in about 15 minutes, and I want you to throw your hands up in the air or hit your knees and bow before the living God today. I want all of those things to happen. But can I tell you that coming to the altar will be the easiest step you've ever taken? The hardest step will be when you walk outside and you go back to the home that you changed, but your house isn't changed yet. You go back to the spouse and you've changed, but she or he has not changed yet. Young person, you have a moment with God at a Catalyst block party or VBS or Ignite summer camp, and God does something great in that moment during the summer, and then you show up to that junior high school or college come September, and you're the only one that believes and follows Jesus. That's when it's tough, and that's where you're most likely going to compromise. Have you ever wondered, most people don't backslide at church. They backslide when they are away from church. Because again, we are guilty of thinking that Jesus lives at Living Way. Jesus doesn't live at Living Way, he is omnipresent. And so a commitment you make to Jesus in here is the same commitment that you'd make out there. And so if you say it yes with boldness here, you're gonna have to learn how to say yes with boldness there. He is uncomfortable, but he does not compromise. Sometimes the uncomfortable feeling you're feeling is the Holy Spirit saying you've outgrown this. Saying that you've been sitting here too long. Sometimes it's the Holy Spirit saying it's time to go and it's time to grow. That's encouragement for somebody today. It's time to go and it's time to grow. Sometimes the enemy doesn't even have to make you uncomfortable because you're already comfortable with him. Sometimes it's God urging us out of our comfort zone. And so Paul, in a prison, in the prison of prisons, most likely in Rome, is sitting in that prison. And while he could be thinking about what his last meal was going to be, and he could be thinking about why so-and-so hadn't come to visit him yet, and while he could be blaming God that after him giving most of his adult life now and putting his life on the line to preach Jesus, why Jesus would allow him to be put in this situation, instead of all of that, he's writing to other believers, and he's saying this in the middle of his misery. He said, I believe that the God that is big enough to start it is big enough to finish. And I want to encourage you that God is not done. It's not always the devil. Sometimes it's God leading us to a place where we are uncomfortable, because there's three things that happen when we are uncomfortable in the hand of God. Can I just encourage you, if you're going to be uncomfortable in the hand of God. Be uncomfortable in the presence of God. When you're uncomfortable in the hand of God, the number one thing that happens is you start trusting God differently. Because now you are in a place where you are surrounded by craziness. And so, like Brother Willie said, it's not just seeing God, but you are looking and you are focused on Jesus. And so your trust grows and your faith is built. The number two thing that happens is you grow and mature. Can I just declare in 2025 that you are going to grow and mature in the things of God? That you're going to grow and mature in your faith in Jesus Christ. That your faith is not going to be shaken. Your faith is not going to go down. Your faith is not going to waver. It is going to be strong like it never has been. Can I tell you, one of the greatest signs of maturity is not getting down in the mud and not getting down in the mess with everybody else and all of their drama and all of their chaos. Can I encourage you, 2025, when we say God's not done, it's going to take a mature you to receive what God has for you. Somebody say amen. Amen. And it is when we are uncomfortable, we fulfill our purpose. No one ever won the battle sitting at home. Can I just say this, that no one's ever won the war staying on their seat, on their pew at church. It is when we are on the move. It is when we can outlandishly in faith say, I know what it looks like, but God's not done. God has not had the final word yet, and he will speak eventually. And when he speaks, the entire world will listen. It's during times of extreme discomfort and stretching that many will allow God to do his best work. Remember, fruit does not grow on mountains. Fruit grows in the valleys. Some of us are avoiding the valley, and by avoiding the valley, we're avoiding the most fruitful seasons of our life. We don't know the real you until we see the valley you, the discomfort you, the prison you. Thank you, Brother Oscar, for the preach in the back. I don't know about you, but I've grown my most in the discomfort seasons where life was frustrating and God was stretching. And the enemy was pulling me this way, and God was saying, no, son, I've got a good way this way. It is in those seasons that I grew the most. I'm sure in Paul's flesh, there was some apprehension. I'm sure in Paul's flesh, he was thinking, this is my moment of execution. I'm sure every time he ate, he in the back of his mind, is this my final meal? Is the next time I hear the click of that door, is it going to be my executioner dragging me to a cross or dragging me to the streets to be stoned? Yet we don't see Paul freak out. We see Paul settle in and begin to exhort others. But you know what? I found as a parent, sometimes while I've encouraged my kids, it was encouraging me. And sometimes, maybe I'm just the only one, sometimes I had to put on a brave face for them, but I found my courage being brave for them. Could it be that Paul was writing to the other people? Paul was writing to the church at Philippi saying, don't forget that God is faithful, and he that started the work is big enough to finish the work. And he might have been writing it to Philippi, but don't you know as he wrote it, and as he read it, and as he played it in his mind, don't you think he was saying, you know, I don't feel bad about my situation as I once did. That's why the power of confession and the power of the word of God is so important. There's some apprehension. The executioner could come through at any moment, yet Paul takes this moment to explain that he was in prison for preaching the gospel of Christ. I love this, because what he's really saying is if God got me into this problem, then God will get me out. Say, what are you saying? You know, your faith creates problems. Your faith, if you weren't so faithful to God, you'd have some less problems. You know, faith creates problems at your job. You're labeled a Jesus freak, and don't be bringing that Jesus nonsense in here. You know, your faith causes some chaos at family reunion when cousin Ray Ray and Auntie Sheila come in. And she wants to talk about this in your life and this, and she's on her fourth marriage and she's the third cigarette into the second pack of her Marlboro Reds, and she wants to tell you about your life and your faith, and don't be all of that. I love what Paul said. Paul said, the reason I'm in this prison is because of Christ. So he will be the one to get me out of this prison. If my faith gets me in, my faith will get me out. If my praise gets me in, my praise will get me out. But here's where I found, and I'll just talk about me. Too many believers are stuck in the mentality that God will work in us after we get through this. Many times we are waiting for the perfect time. How many of you have ever been the hostage of waiting for the perfect time? I'm gonna lift my hand. I've been waiting on the perfect time to jump in and do this. Please judge what I'm saying by the word of God. But there is no such thing as the perfect time to get married. If you're waiting till you are perfect or he or she is perfect, you will be single for the rest of your life. There is never a perfect time to have kids. You're never going to have enough money. You're never going to have enough wisdom. You're not going to know what to do. The best way to learn is when God says now is the time, say, God, I don't see it. I don't understand it. But God, if you said now is the time, then now is the time. Quit waiting for the perfect time. Waiting for the perfect time. Listen, 1 month of 2025 is already gone. Some of us have wasted the last 31 days waiting for the perfect time. You're waiting for the perfect time, and guess what? God is waiting on you. I'm waiting for the perfect time, and God is literally in heaven saying, the time is now. You control the time. I am Alpha. I am Omega. When I tell you to move, I'm telling you to move now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Give me 4 more minutes. Ecclesiastes 11:4 in the King James Version, it tells us about those that wait. He that observes the wind shall not sow, and he that regards the clouds shall not reap. For those of you who don't know my background, it's an agriculture background. It's a farming and ranching background. And I live out in Seguin. And so every morning on my way in to work, or even if I just run into Seguin, I pass by miles and miles of cornfields and sorghum fields and cotton fields and soybean fields here in South Texas. I've run past cattle ranchers and hundreds of head of cows. And I look out there, and can I just tell you that ranchers are some of the most faith-filled people you know. Because we live in South Texas, y'all. It might rain an inch today and not rain for 4 years. But you know what they're going to do every spring? They're going to plant a crop. They're going to plant a seed in dry ground. They're going to plow dry ground. They're going to be out there and it's going to be 90 degrees and not a cloud in sight. But they are not observing the atmosphere. They have a faith in the God that controls the atmosphere. That if I put a seed in the ground, that seed is going to produce something. Can I talk to all the farmers in the room today? The Bible says that he will give seed to the sower. You are waiting on a miracle, and God is waiting on someone to plow, somebody to plant, somebody to sow. And I want you to quit looking for the clouds and quit judging the wind. And when God tells you to move, move. God's not done. It's not a cliche. You can't just sing it on the way home and expect your life. God is relying on us to do our part. You say, does God need us? God doesn't need us, but God wants to see how serious you and I are, and if we are willing to do our part in the process. Paul shows us. Actually, let me read Ecclesiastes 11:4 in the New Living Translation. I like this. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. Droughts last a lot longer for me than they do for everyone else in Seguin. You know why? Because I got like 6 weather apps on my phone. And I jump on that weather app at least 10 times a day. Because sometimes these meteorologists miss it. And sometimes I'm hoping they miss it. But every time I get on there, and it'll just say, in a couple months, it's going to say 100 degrees for the next 18 days. No rain in sight. But if I look at my circumstances all the time, it's going to make me do things that I normally would not do. It's going to keep me from doing things that God has called me to do. So when you look at this world in 2025, immigration's a problem. Inflation's a problem. Overseas and our foreign policy is a mess. And all of the things that are happening with the last president and this president, and all of the things that are churned up and worked up, and we are having tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. And there's a lot of us that are just saying, well, I just want to go to heaven. I don't know if I can live. Here's the thing. You're not in heaven yet. And if God has left you here, it is for a purpose. And if you are breathing breath and air and oxygen through your lungs right now, it is God telling you every 45 seconds, I am not done. And so why are you sitting down wasting that breath? Why are you sitting down wasting that talent? Why are you sitting down wasting all the resources that I've given you? Can I encourage you? There's somebody in this house that over the next 5 years, you're going to step into the fullness of the Lord. But dare I say, in a crowd this size, there's 2 or 3 people that if you don't step out and remember that God is wanting to use you, that you're going to in 5 years say, well, I don't know why he did it for them and not me. It's because some of us at the very beginning of the wave of God's not done, we said, forget about everything else. God, I'm with you. If you're for me, I'm for you. If you're with me, I'm with you. If you're speaking up for me, I'll speak up for you. Stand on your feet. Man, we didn't even get to the best part. And I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work. I'm so grateful, church, that God uses ordinary people like us. I'm so grateful that we are not dependent on a prophet from another nation waiting on him to come to San Antonio. I'm grateful that God uses little old me, imperfect. Have a past. But remember the man who writes 1 Corinthians or Philippians chapter 1. Remember as he sits in the cell and he's writing. Remember this. He was never imprisoned. I've never thought about this until I was preparing for this. He was never imprisoned for killing Christians. But the moment he started preaching Jesus, they threw him in prison. If that is not an upside down, topsy-turvy world like we live in today, I don't know what is. But the Bible says, don't get caught off guard, because he said there's a day coming where evil will be called good, and good will be called evil. Paul in this moment could have said, Jesus, are you kidding me? I have preached for you. I have gone on mission trip after mission trip after mission trip. And when I was killing your believers, nothing was ever done to me. But now that I'm on your side, you allow me to get where I'm at today. Can I just tell you that wherever you're at today, God knows where you're at. He hasn't forgot about you. And God's not done. I really did a deep dive on this, and I hope you'll be here Thursday night. I'll make an announcement at the end of it, Thursday night for our Bible class. But I did a deep dive on the prison conditions. There's not a whole lot. But some historians would tell us that he was in stocks. His feet were bound and his hands were bound in prison. Yet this dude's still writing portions of the New Testament. And I love that, because he's saying, no matter where I'm at, as long as I have breath, God's not done. Our friend Cruz Ramirez messaged me, I guess it was a couple months ago, and he said, hey, I just want to share this with you. He said, I'm telling everybody I know, just because it's an amazing miracle. And he said, I know you'll rejoice with it. He said, I went and prayed for a man that had stage 4 cancer. And he said, you know, stage 4, it's spread almost throughout your entire body, and there's not much hope. He said, I went and laid hands on him, prayed the prayer of faith. And he said, not months later, he said a few days later, he went to the doctor. They ran tests. They didn't say it's in remission. They said, we can never tell that you had cancer. Stage 4 to cancer free. Listen, church, I'm out of time, but listen to this. If you're in stage 4 of any part of your life, don't give up. Because if you're alive, God's not done. And I can even throw some crazier faith on that than I just said. If you're dead, he went to Lazarus and brought him back to life after a few days. He stopped a funeral procession and raised up the widow of Nain's son. I am here to tell you, no matter your situation, well, Pastor, you don't know my situation. I don't, but I know my God. God is not done. Very easy altar invitation right up front. If life stinks, if life is not going great right now, if there's something going on in your mind, in your marriage, in your children, in your money, at your job, there's some emotional instability. Look at all of these people coming. God's not done. God's not done. Young man, God's not done. Young lady, God's not done. Jasmine, God's not done. Galen, God's not done. Delane, God's not done. Chris, God's not done. Chantel, God's not done. Nick, God's not done. Dee, God's not done. I know it doesn't look good. I know it doesn't sound good. I know it doesn't feel good. But I am certain that the God who began the good work within you will continue his work until the day that Christ Jesus returns. I don't need to get too spiritual to tell you that Jesus has not returned yet. We have not heard the trumpets sound. That means you are still a work in progress, and that Jesus is still working in your life and on your life. God's not done. We'll pick this up next Sunday, but I want to get ready to pray for those in this altar. Our pastoral team's getting that anointing oil out. It's something we do. We are that church. We're going to anoint you. I say this with all due respect to the people that walked out of here after the baby dedication. They were here for a photo op, not for something spiritual. Now, a seed was planted, but they were here for a photo op. They were here for tradition. Tradition doesn't save you or transform you. Only Jesus can do that. And I'm just glad that the babies and kids that we dedicated are too young to know that grandpa and grandma and auntie and uncle and mom and dad, I'm glad they're too young to know that they walked out on a service in progress, because the most important part of this service is happening right this second. If you're in this altar today, I want you to lift your hands to heaven. If you don't know Jesus, this is your moment. This is your moment to say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I am a sinner. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God and the only way to get to heaven. So many people make so many things about how to come to Jesus. You admit that you're a sinner. You ask for forgiveness and you believe and confess Jesus. That's what it takes. It can happen in 10 seconds. If you've never said that prayer, this is your moment. Stop one of our prayer team. Let them know I'm here to receive Christ, or I'm here to rededicate my life. I'm here to get things right with God. I've backslid. I'm cold. I've been away for too long. Whatever that is, just let one of our team know. We're not here to judge you. We're here to love you and encourage you. If you're in this house and you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that is a spiritual gift. The evidence is not the purpose. The evidence is so that you can announce to the world, I am now full of the Holy Spirit of God. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is power, is the expedition of power into your life. It is to lead, guide, and take us into all truth, to teach us. If you want to receive that gift, now is your moment. If you want to be baptized in water, I'm going to baptize today because I want to baptize Tyler and Alyssa's niece. And so Lila's going to be the first partaker. But maybe it's time for you to say yes to Jesus. One of the most important acts of obedience is water baptism. We want to make that happen today in your life. If that's you, join us. But if you're in this altar right now, I want you to lift both hands. And we're going to come add our faith to what God is doing. I'm going to lay this microphone down. The next voice you're going to hear is going to be Pastor Mandy. She's going to receive the second mile offering and close this service out in just a few moments. But if you're ready to be baptized, let's make that happen today in Jesus' name. But also, that first altar response and the appeal I gave was for those of you that life is not going the direction you want. But maybe your life is so good and you're like, man, it's going so good, Pastor. I don't want to mess it up. You're not going to mess it up by giving more of yourself to Jesus.